This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
She took a look, missed it with the chill out. Now she said, 30.
The WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz joining us now. The Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. You can check it out in the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast. Baldy, thanks for joining us, my friend.
Good afternoon, Spike. Good to be with you, man. Thanks.
So just, I guess, big picture, overall thoughts. How do you think the Eagles did over the weekend in the draft?
I think they did well. I mean, they got a lot of selections. They drafted, we haven't seen a linebacker drafted in the first round since 1979. Says something about the power that Vic Fangio has over there and the value of the player. They traded up to make sure that they got him, and nobody jumped in front of him, Jahad Campbell. But Akuba, I mean, they showed last year that they could integrate rookies, with talent right into the lineup and get immediate results. I think they could do the same thing here. They lost a couple of defense linemen, and if you'll get Ty Robinson, who's just a beast inside, I think he's better than Milton Williams. So, I mean, I think they did well. They got three offensive linemen that, Stoutland could work with. And they got a local kid, a quarterback that I think has played well in two stops at both Ohio State and Notre Dame. So I think the Eagles did good. I mean, obviously, they're a very talented team. And so you're not going to get a whole lot of guys that can contribute right away. There are not a lot of holes, but I think some of the guys they took can contribute right away.
We'll get to Jahad Campbell in a second. You think Ty Robinson's better than Milton Williams?
Yeah. Heck yeah. Yeah, he's bigger. He's stronger. Milton Williams is a good player. I mean, he didn't start. He filled in because Jordan Davis doesn't play a lot of snaps. But I think Ty Robinson is a beast. And I know Matt Rhule loved him at Nebraska. I mean, he's bigger than Milton Williams. I think he's going to be a good player for him. He's going to rotate right away. Whether he can become the pass rusher that Milton became, we'll wait and see because everybody has to learn pass rush. Nobody comes in as a finished product. But he's got everything it takes to be a good one.
No, I agree, Baldy. He has some traits on him, man. You put him next to Jalen Carter. That could be pretty scary. Big man that can move, but really the most athletic and probably the best athlete of the D tackles in the draft.
Yeah, I was at the combine when he ran, when the whole defensive lineman, I mean, we knew it was going to be a loaded defensive line draft.
Yeah.
30 defensive tackles got taken. And so it's just a question of what did you want? But, for a guy that's 290 plus on a big, thick frame, like he's running in the 4.9s, that's a guy that can run, and he plays with great effort. He understands his job is to, stop the run, affect the quarterback, and get to the football. He did all those things at Nebraska. Mm-hmm. It showed up constantly. A relentless motor on a guy with a big body that, played in a good conference, went against good competition.
Yeah.
And I thought it showed up constantly. But he caught my eye at the combine, I can be honest with you, the way that he competed and some of the things that he did there.
When you look at Jahad, right, and what he does as a player, what do you think he needs to get better at the NFL level? We're talking about him being a potential edge rusher. You're a former offensive lineman. What are some of the things you think he needs to improve upon to be a good edge rusher in the NFL?
Well, I mean, it starts with, first step quickness. He's got that. You can't win the 100-meter dash if you don't have a great first start. And a great first step. He's got a good first step. I don't think he's a polished pass rusher. I mean, he kind of dipped and ripped and ghosted people because of his takeoff. That's not going to happen. He's going to have to develop pass rush if you're going to use him in that, in that role. We've seen Nolan Smith develop, so he's not as fast as Nolan Smith, but He certainly has size to his advantage. He's a pump kid, Ike. Like, you know, he's gained a lot of weight here over the last 2 years, you know, to really play the linebacker spot. So, but, you know, from just a linebacker standpoint, you know better than anybody. I mean, just what's going on behind you in this passing game of the NFL? You know, who's the crossers? Who's the bootleg? Who's coming?
Yeah.
Who's, you know, like, what's going on behind you without looking? Like, how do you read route combinations as you drop in coverage? Because most guys outside of the Fred Taylors and Roquans, I mean, they don't get good depth in their drops in a passing game to take things away and to affect the passing game. So those are things that you don't really have. I mean, I've seen him do it at Alabama. I'm not saying he can. He's got an interception off a good drop last year. But I think that the passing game is always something. And then how you match up with running backs and the guys that you have to match up with, and then the tight ends that you have to cover when you're in man coverage.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see how Coach Fangio uses him on that side of the football, because you mentioned a lot of things there that he may be asked to do that not a lot of linebackers can do. Give you a little bit in the rushing the passer game, and then also affect the passing game by either man coverage or dropping into coverage. You think he has that ability to be an all-around player?
I do. I thought he was the best linebacker in the draft. And I'm not saying that just because I'm on your show right now. I thought he was the best linebacker. I watched him at that combine. I watched him get ready to compete for all the different drills that he did. Like, he was – you can just tell that he is a meticulous kid. He's a local kid and all that stuff. That's good. But, you know, he looks meticulous in how he goes about his business. And I think going about his business is really what separates him. I think he thinks like a pro. He's got big-time athletic ability. I mean, he can really run. I mean, he's faster than Zach Bond. We saw Zach Bond, you know, get 150 tackles last year. But he's faster than Zach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we thought Zach had pass rush ability, too. That's how he was used in New Orleans. And Vic said, well, we're not going to – we'll blitz him. And they did blitz him on occasion and rush him on occasion. But, you know, he was a kid that was cross-trained at Wisconsin. And I feel like Jahad's been cross-trained, too. But I think his natural position – is off the ball inside linebacker.
Mm. Talking to our Odyssey NFL insider, Brian Baldinger. Baldy, what did you think of the Shedeur Sanders slide into the fifth round?
You know, when you're taken with the 144th pick, I mean, the league's basically telling you that you're a backup quarterback. Go prove us, you know, show us that you're more than that. No, we've seen guys taken later in the, you know, Kirk Cousins or Brock Purdy or Tom Brady. We've seen a few get drafted late and become star players. But it doesn't happen often. I don't know that with his arm that he is going to compete in that division in Cincinnati and Cleveland and Baltimore, you know, when the weather turns nasty like it does. And can he throw through those conditions the way Lamar can, Joe Flacco did, Joe Burrow does, Ben Roethlisberger did? I mean, that's asking a lot out of a guy who doesn't have a great arm. Now, he might beat you with speed of decision-making and, you know, his accuracy, it got better the deeper the ball was. But, you know, he was the second quarterback drafted by him. I mean, they're basically telling him that compete for the backup spot right now.
Talking to Brian Baldinger. So, wait, what was I going to ask about Shedeur? The rumor was that the Browns jumped and traded for that pick because they thought the Eagles were interested in taking him. Do you think the Eagles would have taken him, and do you think it would have been a mistake if they did?
Well, they took Kyle McCord, so they're going to, you know, they're in the business of drafting quarterbacks and collecting quarterbacks and developing them. They just lost Kenny Pickett this year. He was a backup. We'll see what Tanner McKee becomes, but they have a strong, strong history of drafting quarterbacks. Now, if they got wind of that and they decided to do it, okay, but why? You've already drafted Dillon Gabriel. You've already said that Dillon Gabriel, he was drafted 50 picks in front of Shedeur. You're already saying in a crowded quarterback room with Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett that Dillon Gabriel is a guy that we want to develop. Now you're going to jump in front of the Eagles, potentially jump in front and take Shedeur because maybe the Eagles take him? That doesn't really make sense. That might be true, Spike. I'm not saying it's not true, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. None of it really makes a lot of sense. But look, the Eagles, they took McCord. Maybe they would have taken Shador.
Well, I'll tell you, it would have been a different radio station. WIP would we'd have been talking about different stuff for the last couple of days if they'd taken Shador Sanders. I can tell you that much. All right, Baldy. Well,
that's part of it, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, is Dylan Gabriel going to get a fair shot? You know, because the attention that Shador is going to get, hopefully, Shador goes about his business here and learns the playbook and gets to meet his teammates and becomes a great, you know, just. The activity of becoming a pro. Hopefully he does that.
Yeah.
The circus atmosphere. I was there when Manziel got drafted. It was a circus. So it's going to be a circus again. He's bringing it. You know, that's not a reason not to take him, believe me. Like, I want Shador to be successful. I want all these guys to be good. But it's going to be a crazy scenario up there in Cleveland right now.
Well, yeah. Especially. Well,
it's a reason not to take him if the talent doesn't warrant it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what makes you wonder why they took him. I mean, there's the rumors out there that the owner wanted him to take him because, yeah, I mean, if you're the Browns and you think enough of Shador Sanders, you don't take Dylan Gabriel in the third round. Like,
Shador sell a lot more Sanders jerseys than Gabriel jerseys.
Well, not to me. You know I love Dylan Gabriel, but to most Cleveland fans, yeah, I think so. All right, Baldy, we appreciate your time as always, brother.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah. All right, guys, you bet.
There he is, Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast, where you can get in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
That Cleveland owner was like, hold on. What jersey are we putting in the pro shop this year?
Gabriel?
Can he pick it?
Pick it? That guy's got tiny hands. All right.
Let me say this real quick before we move on.
Yeah.
With Shador Sanders.
Yeah.
Deion has to take some of this blame.
100% he does.
Like, Deion has to take some of this blame. I love you, Prime, but come on, man. I know you want your son to do well and you want the best for him. I can understand that. But part of this, Spike, when I'm starting to, as the dust starts to settle and the smoke starts to clear, and I use that term purposely, the smoke starting to clear, this was a smoke screen. This was Deion doing his best to try to get his son drafted in the first round.
Right, yes.
Like, Deion has watched enough talent to know
that his son is not at the same level.
Exactly.
Of Cam Ward. Or...
And you may have hurt him by always being his coach. In other words, when you went to Colorado, you was like, you told the starting quarterback in Colorado, like, I'm bringing my quarterback with me.
Well,
like, has Shador ever had to compete for a starting job and beat out a player?
At the risk of bringing this on myself, mm-hmm. I am in a situation where my father is very famous. But take that, right? So people say that all the time, but never once has he been on the air saying, my son should get that job. Now imagine I'm coming out of college and my dad is on the air going, I'll tell you who should be doing middays at WIP.
Or how about if he said this? Well, I know he won't be doing an overnight shift, or he won't be doing 7 to 10.
Right.
He's only going to do this shift or that. Like, Deion was doing some of this by implying you were going to try to control where Shador goes. He's not going to go to certain teams. Like, some of this is on Prime, man. Some of this is on Deion. And here's what I think he should have done, Spike, real quick. He should have been preparing Shador to come into this thing as a put on your hard hat and be a worker. Like, Deion, you were good enough to do the flashy chains and do all that stuff when you came out. You were good enough for that. Your son was carrying it that way without the real game to back it up. And I agree with a lot of these experts to say, listen, the owners are selfish. So, in other words, if they thought Shador Sanders could win a Super Bowl for them and he was that good, they wouldn't have cared about this. They would have drafted him anyway.
They want to win.
Yeah,
NFL teams want to win
more than anything else. They want to win. I think Deion didn't help Shador enough with, you don't do certain interviews with teams. Like, you're not working out for teams.
You didn't throw at the combine.
You didn't do that stuff at the combine.
He retired his number.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, you do stuff like that, and now Shador has a warped perception of who he should really be coming into the NFL. He's coming into the NFL as if he's already an NFL player.
it was funny. People were saying, well, Johnny Manziel was a pain in the ass, but blah, blah. Well, Johnny Manziel was way more awesome in college than Shador Sanders was.
Well, yeah, he won the Heisman and he played in the SEC.
In a real conference, yes.
Yeah, and also it didn't work out in the NFL.
Yes, so that's another good point.
He wasn't
yeah.
worth all the headache.
Right, yes. Yeah, and it didn't work. It didn't work.
Tim
right.
Tebow, too, by the way.
Right, yes.
Like,
And Tim Tebow eventually became a guy. Now, Tim Tebow, a different kind of that. There's almost nonsense around Tim Tebow where I don't even think he. Tim Tebow was a very weird combination yeah. of why it became as big. But he became.
Tim Tebow was here less than a year, Spike.
Yes.
With the Eagles. I know the stories about Tim Tebow.
Oh, really?
And his PR team.
Oh.
And how he had a separate thing that the Eagles had to get clearance from his PR team.
Well, and that's why he wasn't a backup quarterback
yes.
anywhere. Because you can't tell me Tim Tebow couldn't have been a backup somewhere. Of course he could have. There's 60-some 90 yeah. quarterbacks in the NFL. Tim Tebow yeah. could have been one of them. But eventually, NFL teams are like, not worth the hassle.
Don't want to deal with it.
Not yeah. worth the hassle.
Alex Shador does do well there, but it didn't come in the right way. You got to come in a little less. I was cracking on Cam Ward's outfit that night, draft night. Because
I don't remember what he was wearing.
It's just a plain blazer, tan blazer, you know, just he looked. And I'm like, man, that don't look like a number one overall pick.
Well,
But it was the business-like suit. And
I think he could even look at Shador and he's like, you know how I can paint myself? I can be the anti.
Have you seen some of those videos with Shador and Cam?
Oh, yeah, where Cam's like, I want to be known as a football
yep.
player. Cam said, was he asking if he wanted to do music?
Do a rap video.
Yeah.
He wanted to do a rap song with him.
Right.
Yeah. That's Shador Sanders. He wants to do rap songs.
Well, there was the one, too, where Shador's like out of breath in the workout and Cam Ward's like, it's the first rep. Like,
oh, I didn't see that
oh,
one.
Oh, yeah. It's a couple of those videos where I'm like, oh, God, yeah, this yeah. don't look good.
And Shador's like, I'm sponsored by Gatorade, so I'm drinking Gatorade. And it was not a great video.
You could tell one was entitled and the other one was more or less, I'm a grinder. I'm putting in the work. And I just, how's Shador? Go out there and prove him wrong, kid.
Well, he's going to have his chance.
You notice Deion's been quiet.
Well, he learned a lesson
he's
there, too.
He's been quiet. Yeah. He hasn't had anything to say about any
right.
of this.
Yeah. 215-5.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, he's been around.
Yeah, you got to dial it back now unless Shador be a pro.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Clay in Kansas City, you're on WIP.
Hey, how you guys?
What's up, Clay?
What's up, Clay?
Hey, good. Hey, real quick, I actually think Shador went to a really good situation with five quarterbacks there.
I do too. Yeah.
He's going to have to prove his way on that field now. And he's going to have to beat a guy that got drafted higher than him. I actually am rooting for him. Watched a lot of him here in the Big 12. Spike, I heard that Big 12 shade you threw about the no real conference. And I don't really appreciate that. And then,
I mean, compared to the SEC.
And the Big 10.
And the Big 10.
I'm all on board with what the Eagles do, man. If you're going to shop at the best store. And they seem like they've decided that if there's no player on the board they want, they just go to the SEC. That's a good way to go about it. Hey, real quick on the DC thing, I don't know if you guys saw Mr. Lurie's statement yesterday. I thought the Eagles really handled that well. That's a tough situation based on what happened in 2018. And, man, we've got such a classy owner. I really liked what he said in his public statement. I don't know if you all got a chance.
Yeah, I saw it about being honored to go there, and then they went to
yeah, it was the monument. They went over to what was it, Fritzy? Oh, we are terrible.
They went over to Arlington.
Yes.
Right. Yeah,
I thought.
Well, and you know what? They handled it well. You said a tough situation. It's only a tough situation if you make it at this point. And I thought the Eagles handled it well in that they just acted like, this is an honor. This is what you do. We're going. If you don't want to go, you don't have to go. And they left all of the debate and argument out of it.
Yeah.
And they, you know, Lurie, when he was at the owners' meetings, they basically were trying to bait him into arguing about it. And he's just like, he's not. You know what I'm saying? And I actually think it is healthy for all of us to treat things that way. If it's something that you're into, do it. If it's not, don't do it. But, like, let's not over – they're a football team.
Right.
They're not running for office.
Maybe don't tweet about the president's daughter, but let's
– Yeah, you know. multiple times. His married daughter.
Yeah, exactly. Real quick, though, I don't know. I'm kind of with – I don't know why you guys are all – you know, there's really going into every season, there's like – really just 10, 8 or 10 teams that can win the Super Bowl. It's always about health and depth. And if you look at the 2 years the Eagles won the Super Bowl, they were incredibly healthy. And then in 18, didn't they get? They had a lot of injuries.
Heck, they did.
New Orleans, we were picking guys off the out of the crowd to play in the secondary. That was a game Maddox got hurt in the back of the end zone. I mean, so I like where what we did. Is there a player outside of Isaiah Rodgers? And that's the one I thought hurt the most because we could have paid that salary. Everybody else, we weren't going to pay anywhere near what they got. Am I wrong?
No.
Well, I mean, GJ didn't get paid anything. They gave extra money to Saquon, which could have made it, you know, less likely they held on to someone. I agree. We weren't going to give $100 million to Milton Williams. We weren't going to give $80 million to Josh Sweat. But on the other side of that, if those two guys are the highest paid defensive free agents, you have to also agree we lost something. We didn't lose all pros there, but the New England Patriots thought enough of Milton Williams to make him the highest paid defensive player free agent that there was. So I think it's somewhere in the middle there, Clay, in that, yes, we couldn't have paid that, but then we also have to acknowledge that's not super easy production to replace.
I totally agree, but football is the ultimate team game. They went and backfilled with quality, talented young players who, by the way, may also stay healthy because they're young. It's nice to be young. And I just feel you're throwing shade at them, and I just don't get, like, to me, they're still the most talented team in the league. Right now, they're still the most talented team in the league. Am I wrong?
Well, I don't know.
That's a fair argument. I don't know who I could say. I mean, because every team lost some players.
Yes, for sure. We lost, I don't know. And I'm not hating on them. I'm saying more than anything, I understand the strategy. I'm saying I'm disappointed in it, in that there were two ways to go this offseason. You could look at you won the Super Bowl, everybody's in their prime, let's go get another one. Or they could say, hey, we won the Super Bowl, we have bought ourselves some leeway to try to reset and sort of reset for the next 5 years, and that's what they did. I wanted them to go try to win another Super Bowl right now.
Well, sort of.
You're in good shape. And one last thing, yeah. I remember the question from way back when. Hey, isn't it Carrie Underwood? I mean, is she blonde?
She's a blonde.
Carrie Underwood, underrated there, Clay.
Yeah. That's...
Let me say something real quick. My buddies and I always say she is leave your wife and kids on Christmas Day hot.
Whoa. All right. Okay. I think we're all going to disagree with anything like that. So next question today, because it's Michelle Pfeiffer's birthday, is your go-to
Christmas Day.
Your go-to blonde. Leave your wife and kids on Christmas Day?
That's pretty rough.
Come on, man.
The only thing rougher than that is on a birthday.
Yeah. He said that. That was on the radio, Clay.
You guys all agree.
He's like, yeah, he
well,
was like
I'm glad he didn't say Ike knows what I'm talking about.
No, but he did indict all of his friends.
Yes.
You know, me and my friends always said we'd leave our wives and kids for her. Oh my God. All right.
Yeah.
215-592-9494.
Very underrated.
Yeah, at this point.
I mean, underrated.
She had a moment.
Well, yeah. I think she still looks pretty good.
Oh, she does.
Yeah,
she does.
She still looks pretty good.
Yeah, she still does
Sunday night the theme, right? She still does music. She does the Sunday night theme music, right? Carrie Underwood,
Come on, Spike. Are you even a football guy?
I mean, yeah, this guy's doing podcasts on Sunday nights.
We doing a little basketball?
Wait a minute. He does more podcasts than I do.
What does that mean?
He was saying I'm doing my little podcast on Sunday.
Yeah, well, I knew that Carrie Underwood does the Sunday night football.
I just couldn't remember. I'm worried about football.
No,
I'm grinding tape. You're worrying about the girls.
What girls?
You're talking about leaving your wife and kids for Carrie Underwood.
That's what Clay said.
Oh, all right.
Now, Marie Taylor, that's different.
All right. We're stopping. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, Phil's back in action tonight.
Let's get it back to the fightings.
At home against the Nationals. We'll catch up with the Phils with the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. And you're a little disappointed in the Eagles offseason. Tell the Truth Thursday. Tuesday. It used to be Tell the Truth Thursday, right? That's what we did before? That's Tell the Truth Tuesday on the WIP Afternoon Show. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Justin, our video guy, put the open stuff on Twitter, so that's been great to look at, the comments.
I can't tell you being
Yeah, sarcastic. Being sarcastic.
Yeah, I couldn't tell.
Get this guy off my feed.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The Twitter question is brought to you by Marsh Jewelers. Justin always checks with me first. And to be fair, I would have said yes, go ahead.
Yes. But,
brought to you by Marsh Jewelers. Show the mom in your life how much she means to you this Mother's Day with a special gift with your purchase. Details at marks-jewelers.com. Are you disappointed in the Eagles offseason? I speak for the 12.3% who said yes. I speak for the honest ones. And Jack speaks for the Phillies fans.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Here's Jackie Baseball.
So a couple news and notes here. Chris Sanchez is starting tomorrow.
Oh, good.
So it looks like crisis averted with Chris Sanchez.
What happened there? I guess no UCL injury, huh?
Looks like he's fine. Rob Thompson also misspoke during his media availability today and said Andrew Painter was going to be pitching in Lehigh Valley. Turns out that's not true.
Holy cow.
Wow.
He's going to be staying.
That's a big, that's a pretty big leap.
Oh, I was all ready to like almost lead the Jackie Baseball Report with it. Then an hour later, Gale tweets out he misspoke. He's still pitching in Clearwater.
That's a pretty big misspeak.
It's a huge misspeak.
That's a huge misspeak.
And DK, who we'll talk it to in leading
off. Yeah, she tweeted it. I just saw it.
I know. And she said that Rob Thompson talked about how he needed to face higher competition and it's warmer in Lehigh Valley, and then bang, he's staying in Clearwater.
Well, there's something fishy there.
Something. They doesn't pass smell test.
It doesn't. They obviously had a conversation about it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Like, why all of a sudden is he staying in Clearwater when he's waxing poetic about
him going to Lehigh Valley
and how he needs to face real competition and he's staying? So,
interesting.
File that one away as things that make you go, Yeah. All right. So, I tweeted this morning and it's caused a firestorm, I think, the rest of the
cares.
Day.
What?
What happened?
So, Kyle Schwarber, his numbers since protecting Harper in the lineup, he is down to 208. Now, 391 OBP, we love that. But a 283 slugging percentage out of the cleanups for cleanup knot / three hole protecting Bryce Harper. He is protecting.
Is that not good?
No, it's not. No, it's not very good. Rob Thompson talked about Schwarber, and if he's thinking about making any changes to the lineup earlier today, here's Rob Thompson.
A little bit bigger of a sample size with Kyle hitting behind Bryce. What have you made of Kyle's numbers since hitting behind Bryce, and do you feel like you're getting close to changing it maybe if Kyle doesn't hit like he usually hits?
Yeah, and Harp has kind of gone into a little bit of a lull here too, so always monitoring that. Always thinking about, okay, how can we make it better? So, you never know. If I feel like we need a change, then we'll do it.
Well, okay. This is ridiculous. First of all, not every time somebody goes into a slump, it's because of where they're hitting in the lineup.
Yeah, I find it very hard to believe he cannot hit in the protecting Harper.
Well, yeah, like Schwarber was hot at the beginning of the year. Now he's cold. Now we always say that he doesn't heat up until June anyway.
And by the way, he wasn't just batting leadoff when he was hot.
No, he hit well when he was hitting cleanup as well. And the other thing is, like, if you can only hit well when all the good hitters are behind you, then like, how good are you? Do you know what I mean? Plenty of hitters, plenty of cleanup hitters hit well in the cleanup, you know, spot without an all-star hitting behind them. So, look, Kyle, don't. The point of the lineup is to win ball games, not for Kyle Schwarber to
to get his numbers.
His numbers.
Well, sure, but the point of the lineup is also, and I know that Giglio's already laying the groundwork, and listen, I'm a Kyle Schwarber leadoff truther. Sure, all things considered, he's good at it. It's fine. It's more important to have real protection behind Bryce. That's the thing that has sunk you in the postseason the last 2 years. So I want to see if it can work. Well, like, Giglio wants to pull the plug already. Like, Giglio.
Well, Stott is hitting the ball well at the top of the order.
And he's doing what he's supposed to. He's seeing pitches.
Yes.
Which is what he's supposed to be doing. Look. And you know what the big problem here is? Nobody wants to say. The problem is not that Kyle Schwarber isn't hitting in the four spot. The problem is that with the guy, with Kyle Schwarber hitting behind him, Bryce Harper is hitting worse than Kyle Schwarber is. And that is with protection behind him. The problem right now in the lineup, like, that is the question I want to be asking, is what is going on with Harper with Schwarber hitting behind him?
Yeah, right. I don't know. But versus fastballs this year, he's down to 215.
Well, that's not great.
No, it's not, because we want to know what his numbers are the last 6 years against fastballs.
What?
So in 2024, 319. 2023, 317, 2022, 307, 2021, 336, 2020, 309, 2019, 304. Currently 216. Now, other interesting stat about Bryce that I wanted to bring up that is very concerning, and this is courtesy of John Solness. So, since July 1st of last year, Bryce Harper has 15 home runs and 45 RBIs. That ranks 50th and 77th out of 140 qualified hitters. Nick Castellanos has a higher OPS during that time period than Bryce Harper.
And he had a bunch of injury issues last year. He had the back thing. He had whatever his arm thing was. Uh-oh.
Yeah, he had both of those things.
Well, maybe that's why he doesn't have the extension.
Well,
if his body is falling apart.
I really hope that he's not. I know you sound like giddy.
I'm not giddy.
But I really obviously don't want that to happen.
I don't want it to happen either.
Very concerned about it. Okay, so
don't accuse me of sounding giddy.
You sound giddy in there.
No.
Now I know how the Jalen people feel.
I'm not giddy.
I'm not handling it.
I know how the Jalen people feel.
Yeah. I agree with Twitter. I need him to right the ship here. We do not need the back to be a thing, but I am growing more and more concerned about the back. I know Ike's going to tell me I'm crazy.
Yes, I know.
That's what I do, is I worry about this team constantly.
Big fella's all right.
You think?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I don't worry about Bryce Harper.
Well, age catches up with everybody.
What is he, 31?
Yeah, but
32.
But he's been in the big leagues 14 years.
Yeah.
That's a violent swing.
He plays first base. Violent. What is he, chopping trees?
The violent swing. Hold on. Tiger's body's broken down, and he has a violent swing, too.
Well, I tell you, Tiger's body is broken down from other things besides the violent golf swing.
Well, Bryce has four kids.
That why his back is tight?
I don't think so. And Julio, by the way, conspiracy theory Joe.
What?
He was trying to mention me in between the breaks about Bryce's home OPS versus road OPS. Home OPS is like over 1,000 in the last year, and then road OPS is around like 800. He is conspiracy theorizing that it's because of his mattress at home. He needs to sleep in his home bed.
Can I tell you, as somebody, all right, I'm going to say this. As a bad back guy.
Yeah.
And I have a Tempur-Pedic bed. Yeah. It did change my life. It helped make my back in a better place. When I'm going for an Airbnb somewhere, I always send the person a message to ask what the bed is. Yeah. I live in fear of hotel mattresses. Like hotel mattresses are too soft.
Yeah. You're just a bundle of joy.
Diva. Aren't you starting to see more and more diva out of him?
Yep. It's not diva.
The poor people that worked on your house.
Are you kidding me? You ordering mattresses at the hotel?
No, I can't order mattresses at the hotel, but if I could, I would. If the hotel mattresses are too soft, they want to be too fluffy, it's not good for your back.
What a warrior.
I know Val looks at you when y'all at the check-in counter.
Oh, man.
And you're going through your mattress stuff.
Look, man.
Like, you can't watch TV in the room.
No.
In the hotel rooms? Is that allowed or no?
Yeah, I bet.
Yes, in the hotel room.
I'm just trying to make sure. Yeah, I want to make
sure. I'm not going to sleep with the TV on.
Is she allowed outside the room?
Yeah.
When you guys go on vacation?
Yes. Okay. Not like that.
Hold on. You're one of those guys. The TV has to be off for you to go to sleep.
Well, I don't want the TV on while I'm sleeping.
Yeah, it's bad radiation. I agree.
Bad radiation.
Yep.
It's bad for your sleep. I need darkness. I need quiet.
Come on, close your eyes.
Dude, sometimes.
You guys are going to be sleeping in separate rooms. In like five years.
No. I know. Not at all. I'm not into that. But I do. Sometimes I will put on headphones with some rain, sounds.
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying.
On top of your two jackets and my pair of socks to sleep in.
Sweat socks somewhere. Yep. Man, you are a lot to deal with.
I am.
Piece of work. Happy birthday, Val.
I am. Happy birthday. I love you, Val.
do you want to hear what Evan and Tiki had to say about the show?
Our show?
Should you do National Appliance Warehouse?
Let's do National Appliance Warehouse.
I'm just, I hate to have to produce the show as well, but
is there anything you can't do?
Tax-free Delaware. Come on, Jack.
No, I know, and you know all about.
I was doing my read the last segment.
Well, I'm just trying to get you guys.
Well, listen, Spike, you can talk about National Appliance Warehouse as well as I can.
I can,
given that you now You are in the house almost.
Thursday. I was over there this morning.
Were you just walking in the kitchen and said, look at all these appliances?
Then I all got a National Appliance Warehouse. The entire the entire process of it was amazing.
I know.
Because I wanted to be in and out. If you want to look at all the brands they have, you can do it.
Well, because again, you silenced your wife's opinion.
I did.
And said, only pick two
products. Yes. I called your own and I'm like, you need to whittle this down for us before we come in.
That's right.
And your own's like, I got you. Yeah. Dude, the smile on my face when he said, I have two options for you for a range. I was like, yes, he did it. And now they look beautiful.
That's industry-leading professionals that you get at National Appliance
Warehouse. Sure is.
Knowledgeable, smart. They treat you like family. Spike just got that done. Also, listen, contractors, we know you're out there. I mean, you know you're working all these houses.
Yeah, my contractor was like, I usually go to National Appliance Warehouse.
And bang, bang. That's what they do, is they send them to National Appliance Warehouse, and they take care of you. So, by the way, you're going to get it's not just two appliances. Like, I know Spike narrowed it down to two. There is over 100 brands from sub-zero to budget in their 15,000-square-foot showroom, so they have the right appliance. And, of course, the price. That is guaranteed by PriceSure. You're going to get the lowest price possible. PriceSure is a piece of technology specific for National Appliance Warehouse that instantly updates price tags all throughout the store if it finds a lower price elsewhere. Tax-free Delaware helps, and, of course, they always have great savings events going on as well. Installation, delivery, a whole lot more. So visit NationalAppliancesWarehouse.com or their showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And you can tell them Fritz sent you.
Yeah, that's what I did. I told them Fritz sent me. They looked at me like I was crazy. But
confetti fell from the ceiling. Yeah. Yep, all that good stuff.
Anyway, Evan and Tiki.
Yeah, so they...
On WFAN.
On WFAN, a little radio station up in New York.
Much lower ratings than ours, but a good show nonetheless.
Right, and one member of the show definitely didn't call it the Mecca when he went and took a job up there.
City is the Mecca.
Would never do that.
Yep.
So they're mentioning the death of the Phillies franchise and when they knew that happened. And they brought the show to make the drive the point home.
I believe Philadelphia has turned on the Phillies. And I know the exact moment it happened. When Francisco Lindor hit that grand slam against Carlos Estevez. Because last year, they loved that team. I was in the building for game two. They are vicious, loving their own team, wanting to kill us kind of fans. And so it wasn't even during the series. It was as it was ending. I saw death in the eyes of, what's that guy who works with Eskin in Philadelphia? The tiny guy? What's
his
name?
That would be Jack.
Jack Fritz. Jack Fritz. I don't know Jack Fritz.
Mm-hmm. Jack, not a fan of positive Tommy.
No, he don't like you?
No.
Okay, so you want me to rip him then?
Yes.
I was going to say nice things about him, I'll kill him.
I'm just giving you the facts.
Let me tell you about that little dip crap, Jack Fritz. I'm just kidding. No, I liked him in this regard, and I'm using him as an example for this. Jack Fitz, who I don't know from a hole in the wall, is a Philly fan.
Well, you certainly don't, because you keep saying his name wrong. It is Jack Fritz.
Fritz, okay. Fritz. I'm sorry.
F-R-I-T-Z.
Nice fellow. We've met him a few times.
Very nice fellow. And so we ended up standing next to Jack Fritz at the end of that game. And unlike Spike and his partner, who's his partner again?
That would be Ike Reese.
Ike Reese. Yeah. I think, with all due respect, I don't think Spike and Ike Reese gave a rat's ass about Phillies Mets. I think they're doing their job.
Oh, boy.
They're doing it, and they do a great job, by the way, down there. They didn't actually care.
Right.
Wow. I can tell people who care, because I care. Jack Fritz cares.
Oh, yeah.
Jack Fritz cares, and I respect him for that.
He wears it on his sleeves.
Yes. He is, I don't know if he'll take this as an insult, he's Philadelphia's me. We live it. We live it. We breathe it. It ain't just a job. It's a life. Okay?
Right. Wow.
When Francisco Lindor hit that grand slam, I saw the death of a franchise in his eyes. I looked over, and I saw it. And he represented Philadelphia. They hate the Phillies.
Wow.
I mean, now...
Did you guys give two craps about now, the
okay.
There's
a lot
series?
Going on in there. Right. There's a lot going on
so
in
So some
that.
Context on Evan. Evan is a bigger Mets fan than I've ever seen anyone anything. He scores every game, like hand scores every game, goes to a lot of games every year. So to him, there's only like, you're either a fan like him or you're everybody else.
Right.
So that's his judging on
yeah.
it. So I imagine what Jack, I wasn't looking at Jack when Lindor hit the home run, but I can imagine
well,
it was
always unpleasant to stand yes, next to him watching the game.
Watching the game.
Thank you.
But his point about people turning on the team, I don't think they hate them. And I think they would cheer for them if they win. Mm-hmm. But we have compared it to the Sixers a lot in that the love affair with this Phillies team is over. Like, there was, and partially it was because the expectations were not, yeah, were so low in the beginning. And the best time in sports is when the team performs and your expectations are low. Because it's, you know, it's devil may care. It's nothing
it's
to lose.
Unexpected, yeah.
Nothing to lose.
Yep.
But then when expectations come, that is the danger. And when teams don't live up to expectations, even if they play well, that's when that friction happens.
Yep.
And the Phillies, I would say, not until they lost to the Diamondbacks did they meet expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So did they have to face expectations, rather? So then they come in with expectations, they win the 95 games, and they lose to the Mets. And I think at that moment, the sort of, I'm not saying that nobody likes the team, and I'm not saying they don't want them to win, but this unconditional love, can do no wrong sort of relationship that fans had with that team,
mm-hmm,
I think did die in that Mets series.
Yeah.
Because you'll remember all summer, people just expected it to come back.
Yeah. I was one of them.
And when it didn't come back, I think they were truly disappointed for the first time, disappointed in a different way,
yeah,
than the Diamondbacks, because they had true expectations. And I think it's different.
Yeah, it may not be to the level in which he described it. I'm with you. I think there is still some love for this Phillies team and a little bit of hope that they can do what we ultimately have hoped that they could do for the last 3 years. That's still there. But then there's also a part of us that's like, there is a little bit of fatigue there. And I wonder, the problem for baseball, especially in the moment during the season, is that it comes at a wonderful time of the year when people are trying to get outside, be active,
relax,
it's other
do
things
other stuff
to do.
Yeah.
So you don't get the same level of anger at this time of the year for the baseball team. It's different from basketball because we don't get mad about the Sixers until the end. Like, nobody's angry all year long yelling about the Sixers. It's when the end result isn't there. The problem for the Phillies is we have all of our sports emotion and concentrate. It's concentrated on them right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got the focus of the city on them right now. And it ain't looking pretty. And because of the way the season has ended the last 3 years, you know, people are less inclined. It's worse than being angry. Angry is an emotion that shows that you still care to some degree. It's apathy that sets in where you don't get the emotion and the anger out of you. Like, what he saw with Fritz was the ending of the season.
Yeah.
I don't know if people are carrying that level of passion right now through the season. Do you feel that? Like, I don't necessarily feel that. I feel frustration, but I don't feel that level right now with the team.
Yeah, I think there's more increased negativity, I think,
yeah,
for April. But well, I also think that they've earned that.
Well, do you feel different about the core?
I mean, I think I've talked differently about this team this year because, like, I think we've seen them all. Like, it's hard to expect 30-plus-year-old guys to kind of change. And I think a lot of people have made up their mind about who these guys are as well. So I think
I'm one of those people.
Yeah. Like, I think we just kind of know what they are.
Do you think people, I know Evan said hate them, but do you feel like people are more irritated than they are amused by the Phillies?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah.
Being more, that you're more irritated because, to your point, there's a lot of other stuff to do right now.
Yeah.
Especially as the weather warms up and people
are
start
still
going,
watching, though.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Consuming
still
and wanting to talk about them.
Yeah.
But, like, I was at a birthday party over the weekend, and it was a lot like, they're the same team. You know, like, it was just, I don't know if they watch every game, but it seems like that's the general feeling around the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you're not hitting home runs, now you're not even as exciting.
It's not even
as
the fun part.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, people say they want small ball. The home runs are more fun.
I always say it.
Yeah.
The chicks dig the long balls.
So, whoa, ball, long ball.
long balls might be a problem. But you're getting older.
Sounds like a mess. What's coming up in the top 5 and 5? Whoa. What's coming up in the top 5 and 5?
My favorite internet debates of my lifetime.
Oh.
Big one currently ongoing that we will discuss.
Oh, yeah. I heard, Hugh talking about it. Wrong. Hugh, wrong. All right. Top 5 of 5 is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.